Hello and welcome to another round of the First and 10 UK Cowboys podcast. As always, you have three beautiful men talking about the greatest team in the world. As always, I, Ben Galatia, am joined by Bill and Rob.
Hello. And
how about them Cowboys?
And last week, we discussed a loss. And today, I think we were all prepared to discuss a loss. But surprisingly, somehow, we are discussing a win. Yay! what's going to do, though? Because if you watch this game, you will realise that there was quite a lot that went down. So we are going to do a play-by-play today. Well, at least to begin with, we might speed it up a bit. We will see. So to do this, we are going to have the man with the stats as opposed to the big beardy man with the crass jokes, because that's probably what we should do. So, Bill, over to you. Let's get this game reviewed. What are we saying, sir? What are we saying?
First quarter. It was all about the first quarter. It started off well. Falcons took the ball. We knocked them three and out. We got the ball back. We moved it a little bit. Our first drive, Pollard fumbled the ball. But it wasn't an actual fumble. We ended up having to punt the ball away. Dak was in ridiculous amounts of pressure. We couldn't move the ball at all. Dak couldn't keep hold of the ball because he was going to end up on his arse. It was not the greatest first drive that the Cowboys have ever had. So we punted it back. Falcons got the ball again. Three and out again. We're talking, we've just stopped the Falcons twice. And then and we got the ball back. Second drive. And it all went wrong. So I took another look at this, and a lot of what went wrong is Tyron Smith was injured at the start of this game. So I don't know. I played this game last week. Let's play who's our offensive line this week. So who was right tackle? No one?
Something. What the hell was his name?
Karen Steele.
That's what it was, Steel.
He was adequate last week. He was below adequate for the first quarter of this week. But over on left tackle, we had a guy called Knight. Steel and Knight, or Knight and Steel. They sound like a 90s cop drama. Right? And by Christ, could they not block anyone. It was horrendous, the amount of pressure that Dak was under. And it's no wonder that this is the first fumble that was actually called was a fumble, because Pollard fumbled to begin with and we got it back. And Dak ended up keeping the ball longer than he should have done. Fumble went away, gave the ball to the Falcons. What did we all think?
I felt like Dak was trying to do too much when he should have just, you know what, taken the sack. But hindsight is, hey, maybe he gets the ball away properly and we're off for, you know, it's better, but shit. I was ready to, I mean, at this point in the game, I was like, well, it's still early, no score. We're still alive. Mistakes happen. Rusty, no O-line, or, you know, the two new rookies, or if you want to even call them that, they're not even rookies, practice squad. And, my heart just kind of dropped to the bottom of my stomach, and I thought, well, this is us for the rest of the game, and yeah.
So I thought, to me, it was like there was just nothing we could do. Now, we had to run the ball, but that offensive line was not holding anyone. They were just going through it like hot sauce through a sick kitten. It was just it was pathetic. Now, Knight was an undrafted free agent last year, and Steele, his partner in crime, was an undrafted free agent this year. And then put in between that, all right, we have Zach Martin there, and I like Joe Looney. Connor Williams.
He performed. He performed.
He did, but you could just see those edges crumple, and Dak knew it, and he didn't know what to do. I don't think they were ready for that. I don't think they had a game plan for what was just happening. So then, obviously, we gave the ball back on the 30, and the Falcons on their third drive took one shot. It was one passing play. That's all they needed to Calvin Ridley, who was wide open.
He was basically stood in the desert. Not quite as bad as Hurst was, but we'll get on to that.
Well, wide open, we ended up 7 down. So we get the ball back. We can do this. We're the Cowboys. We've got the ball back. It's our third drive. We give it to Dalton Schultz. He gets 10 yards.
Schultz is one of the
highlights.
Positive
it was one of the highlights of the game. Schultz.
Yeah. Schultz made us kind of forget that Jarwin was a thing, and that was actually quite nice.
Yeah, I liked him. And one of the reasons why Schultz was actually one of the bigger players, and more so in the latter part of the game that we're going to get to, is because with Terrence, with Steele and Knight sort of struggling and Dak having to get rid of things quickly, you needed a Dalton Schultz to sort of chip away at one of them. And then just get open in the flat so you can just... Dak doesn't have to hold it. He can just fling it straight to someone. Mm. And that's how... And Schultz, fair play to him, got most of his yardage after the catch, not before. Yep. And he got it. He was our most targeted player.
Yeah, he did good.
I think he got the most yards, did he not?
He was on point. Like, he was the Jason Witten. I thought he was more consistent than Jarwin.
Yeah. Show looked great. Only reason people will not be talking about him too much is because of the other player of the game who we'll talk about later, who last week I said sounded like a venereal disease. But
so then in the third drive, after Schultz had done his 10 yards, Zeke fumbled the ball. So this is our third fumble. We've recovered one, we've lost another, Zeke fumbled. This one wasn't actually a fumble. He was down by contact. It was good. Two plays later, Zeke fumbled again, and that was recovered by the Falcons. So now we've had four fumbles, one recovered by our own, two we've lost, and one wasn't actually a fumble. And it's and the Falcons get the ball on the 50. And this is, again, two plays later, three plays later. Hayden Hurst completely wide open, takes him to the house. We're now 14-0 down.
He was so left in the open, he basically put his arms out and started singing Earth Song by Michael Jackson and no one could get near him.
What about us?
What about...
Or are you going to be playing MC Hammer? Don't touch this. Can't touch this.
And he did good, and I took him out of my fantasy team, but whatever. that was embarrassing.
I think the fault of that one was Jalen Smith. I think Jalen Smith, if you looked at him, he kind of handed him off.
Yeah.
As in, he followed him across and then handed him off as if he was playing zone, but no one else was playing zone with Jalen Smith. So there was no one behind him, and he was just on his own free and just found his way into the end zone.
It might be a little bit early to say this, but that was one of the things I actually liked about this game with our defense. Was it was nice to see us starting weak and getting better, as opposed to starting well and just crumbling.
We definitely did.
That was the one thing I actually liked about it. We started shit, but then later game, we were a different animal.
We were on point.
That was the one kind of good thing. We just need to start being able to keep good throughout the entire game.
We are now on 14-0. And it's our fourth drive, and we have handed the ball over to them three times. So we get it. Schultz is again doing well. Dak's massively pressured, and it was a three and out. But, and I like this call, on our own 30, I can't remember our specials teams coordinator, but we got him this year, and he's great, and I like him from the Rams. He ended up choosing a fake punt. Chris Jones threw a pass that was extremely low. What do y'all think of that one? Because I thought that was a great idea, and I thought it played out really well. It was just one of those things that Chris Jones kind of cocked up a little bit.
I was going to say, I loved it. I thought it was great. I didn't see that coming, actually, already being down. I thought, wow, this is something you do at the fourth quarter when no one, you know, when you're everybody's expecting it. I felt good about it. But, yeah, Chris Jones, that was almost an uncatchable ball. Like, I don't know who would have been able to catch that. Now,
someone maybe if it 5 feet years closer.
Yeah. Or maybe if it would have been, you know, done 10 years ago when they didn't have photo-second replays, that the guy could have bounced out the ground and claimed he caught it, you know. That's all I got on it.
No, the thing is, though, like, Chris Jones does pull these kind of things off. He just didn't today. But the amount of times Chris Jones has pulled these kind of silly little trick plays off, fair play to him. But, yeah, that was...
It was a great idea.
I'm always going to love a trick play. I like going for that shit. I always like trying that shit.
I think it was a good idea. We were 14-0 down already. If it works, you're a hero. If it doesn't, then what the hell? You're still 14-0 down, and it's going to get worse.
But, yeah.
So we ended up giving them the ball back, and our defense held them down, and they ended up getting a field goal. That's all, because they had short position anyway. They were on our 30.
Mm-hmm.
So we're now 17-0 down. Fifth drive. Dalton Schultz, the very first play, gets the ball, runs it to the 40, and immediately drops the ball and gives it away to the Falcons players. Fumble number 5 on our own 40.
That's the new single coming out next week.
Fumble number 5.
Little bit of Schultzy on the side. It's my fumble number 5.
So far, and basically the Falcons get the ball back. Again, our defense stops them. And it's end of the quarter. This is just the first quarter. 20-0, right? So we have had 5 possessions. We have gone 3 and out. We have gone fumble by Dak. We have then gone fumble by Zeke twice. Bad fake punt, fumble by Schultz. 20-0 down, first quarter. What did you all think right about this moment? Where were you? What was going on?
I shouted, oh, fuck, and kicked a table leg. And my girlfriend asked me to calm down.
I actually said to the missus here, I said, well, basically, we're 20-0 down, but we get the ball back at half time. So my theory was, it's still, because it's 20-0, it's still only 3 possessions. If we can score 1 touchdown in the second quarter, then we get the ball back. We score again after in the half. And then all of a sudden we're only down by 1 possession and we're ahead if we score. That was my thinking at the time. And as it's Cowboys...
That's very positive.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't really thinking that was going to happen.
Not that positive.
But I knew it was statistically...
I genuinely was thinking about for, I would say, the first 2 to 3 quarters of the game? I was thinking, ugh... The amount of abuse I got for losing by 3 points to the fucking Rams. You wait, Galatia. It's going to get so much worse. And my phone was pinging. I had Patriots fans, I had Eagles fans, I had Packers fans, all giving me fucking abuse. But yeah, that's where I was. Carry on.
I felt defeated. Like, well, this is it. This is how it's going. The only thing that helped me stay positive was, well, three things. Well, first off, the Giants were losing.
Yeah, yeah.
Second off, I knew that Arizona was going to beat Washington.
Yeah.
Third off, well, actually four things. Third off was, well, we get the ball like at the start of the second half, like Bill just said. And fourth off was the Vikings are losing too. So I'm not taking any shit from anybody because the Packers were also losing at the same time.
Yeah, so,
nobody had shit.
You just give your mate shit.
Yes.
I was getting a lot of shit.
It was
nobody was giving anybody shit because everybody that I know, their team was losing too. So at the same time, I'm like, look at it like this. Maybe it's, you know, it's 2020, it's odd. Everybody loses, you know, stranger shit's happened. So yeah, that's why I was positive. And I was thinking, worst case scenario, we lose this game, Washington loses the game. We're one game behind Washington. And yeah, and then Philly lost too. So yeah, I mean, Philly lost. They were losing at the same time also.
They were playing the Rams at the time, weren't
they? That's right. Yeah. Philly was losing.
I was kind of the same because I was like, Philly's going to get beat by the Rams because they were already like 14-0 down themselves almost. And then you knew that Washington weren't going to win and the Giants are the Giants. So in my head I was like, okay, we go sort of 0-2, but it's 0-2 in the East. There's only Washington that have a win. We can cope with that. There's still another 14 games of the season, and there's an extra team in the playoffs. Yeah. We can get away with this. We can work this. So then
I wasn't even thinking about that. it was just depressing me because it was just the same old shit. Season starts, everyone's saying this is going to be a year. I'm not saying that because if I do say that, I'm going to be disappointed. But even though I wasn't saying that, I was still thinking we were going to perform a bit better. And then we lost by 3 points to the Rams. And then by the end of the first quarter, we're 20 down to the Falcons. Yeah. We don't even have many good players left.
And that was the thing as well. I couldn't even see a way out of. I was positive. I was thinking, all right, we get the ball back, we do this. But I remember actually saying to the missus, I was like, he hasn't got time to throw. We're just under pressure constantly, and whenever we run the ball, we drop it. Something had gone. There must have been something going wrong. You don't have that many fumbles. They maybe didn't have the right gloves or something. I don't know. You don't have that many fumbles in one quarter. It was every time anyone caught it. It'd be ridiculous. Maybe they were trying a new sort of stick'em that they usually have. But so we had to come back in the second quarter and then the next drive number six for the Cowboys. They worked their way up the field. Zeke scored a touchdown. It's now 20-7. And any chance that they're getting the momentum back was kind of dashed a little bit.
Absolute slapped, yeah.
Because the Falcons did the exact same thing, moved it up, Calvin Ridley wide open in the end zone again. And this is the thing as well. This is when the Falcons started getting cocky because they went for 2 points.
That's right. And they fucked that up.
They missed the 2 points and they ended up... Yeah, so... It kind of, whenever we scored, the Falcons were doing it as well. Our defense wasn't helping us out as much as it used to. Seventh drive, everyone worked. We got the rhythm going. We got the high tempo going. I've watched the film. That O-line started working. I don't know what they did. It still wasn't great. But something changed. It looks like they tend to, instead of staying in one place, they kind of shuffled across a little bit. They moved side to side laterally, maybe to try and help each other. But they kind of got a bit of a tempo, but we moved up the field and we scored a field goal.
Yeah.
So we scored a field goal. Falcons get the ball back. They score a field goal. The half finished 29-10. And that's when I kind of thought, right, okay, we've got 29-10. That's how many possessions is that? Three still?
Yep.
We get the ball back, but it's still not as good. We get to 29-17 if we're lucky. But this is where I think Mike McCarthy earned his money. Because Mike McCarthy must have gone in there and he must have said something to him and he must have got them all working, because I've never seen Dak as focused. Dak was the sole reason we won this game. No,
absolutely.
No shadow of a doubt.
McCarthy went in there and said, Dak, you want $40 million a year? You fucking win this game.
Yeah.
I think it went along about something like that.
he must have said something to them, because it was a completely different side. The offensive line was working well. The defense was okay. And all of a sudden it kind of changed it a little bit. We came out, we got the ball back, we moved up the field, and I think there was a lot of quick, easy checkdowns for him. I think they changed a lot of plays, made it so Dak wasn't holding that ball anywhere near as long as he had been. And I think that's how we moved it. And the quick, easy checkdowns and the move into Zeke and Pollard kind of allowed Lamb and Coop and Gallup to get free deeper down as well.
And Lamb started looking confident.
Yeah.
Lamb stopped looking like a rookie.
He
didn't look like, by the end of the second half, it didn't look like it was CD's second game in the NFL league. Do you know what I mean?
It looked
like Gallup towards the end of his first season as opposed to the beginning. It was, I don't know. It was quite confident to see him just going and trying stuff and pulling it off. And his movement just is rather good, isn't it?
One thing I liked about the whole thing at this moment was that there wasn't a head down. It's quite easy to be down 29-10, to come out, all right, 29-17 for that. But there wasn't a Cowboys player that looked defeated.
Yeah,
no, there wasn't.
And again, that's something on McCarthy. That's belief in McCarthy. That's belief in Kellen Moore. That's belief in Dak. And again, Dak earning his money there, getting everyone the focus that Dak had, got everyone going.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to say, there might have been two other conversations going on in that locker room on halftime. One was probably, do you want to see Jerry Jones have a heart attack and die? If you looked up in that booth,
that would be a 50-50.
That was like scary. That was literally like skeleton scary looking in his face with his mask on. Like, Jerry's thinking, I spent how much money on these players to have them perform like this in game opener, in like, you know, season opener in our dome? Second thing, maybe what was said was also along the lines of, you know, you guys are professional football players. You guys are coming out looking like the Pee Wee squad. And I think maybe Mike McCarthy was even getting some shit. It's like, I bring you in as a new head coach and you're doing shittier than Jason Garrett. You're not even clapping your hands. Where do we start? So it could have been a lot of things.
I'll tell you what, going back to what Bill said, though, that's definitely, I think, the difference. I mean, okay, we're only two games in. We'll see if we're saying the same thing eight games in. But that was the thing, was when we were in these situations with Jason, there was like a visible like shrug on players, and that wasn't present. That was not present. You're spot on with that, Bill. That wasn't present.
Yeah, they you could see in the Garrett era they were coming off dejected, and Garrett was clapping them and trying to give them handshakes, and they were all ignoring him. And this one, that didn't happen. They were there.
I'll tell you what the difference was they were coming off last season, they were coming off pissed off at themselves, and Garrett was going, come on man, you got this. And this, it feels like, first off, they came off pissed at themselves, and Mike went, well, I'm pissed at you too, so stop making me pissed at you.
And
they went, oh yeah, okay, actually that's the best way to stop you being angry at me and me being angry at me is to stop playing shit. And it seems like that's what happened.
I've been there before, where you've played poorly and you've come off the field, and the coach has kind of gone, oh, don't worry, you got this. You know, you're gonna. And you're just thinking, no, I've just been shit. Don't patronize me. That's not gonna help.
Yeah.
And it's So maybe, or all of a sudden, Mike McCarthy is making his money and earning it. This is my notes here for the next Falcons drive. All I have was Julio Jones misses a gimme.
An absolute just... That was off the wildcat play, wasn't it?
That was Gage threw it. I don't think Matt Ryan might not have been on the field then.
Yeah. No, that was... The thing is, from the Falcons, and fair play for the Falcons to go for it, that was a really nice play. Luckily for us, they fucked it up.
It was a really nice play, and I actually heard a great bit of analysis that I am going to steal from another podcast, being that they were third and two when they came up with that, and I think they were on like the 50 or the 40. They already knew they were going to go for it on fourth and two if that didn't work out. You don't pull that play off on a third and two when you need to keep going. They already knew they were going for fourth and two because our defense wasn't stopping them much.
Yeah, exactly.
So going for a 2-point conversion and then doing this fourth and two, and they went for it on fourth and whatever again another time. They didn't really have respect for our D on that. And who can blame them?
Yeah, no, you can blame them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a great stat that no team, so of all the teams that have ever scored that amount, had no turnovers and had that amount of yardage, the winning percentage is 455 teams have won, zero have lost. Yeah, no, the Falcons have now made it 455-1.
that's like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no team blows a lead quite like the Falcons today.
It was a bad one. My buddy, who's a huge Falcons fan, we were there in his house in the Super Bowl, and I remember me just turning to him at the end of the game, just going, "Sorry, mate, it's not went to be." And he just showed me his Skybet account. And he just went, "I put that on at halftime." And he put £100 on the Falcons on the Patriots to win when it was 28-3 at halftime.
Holy shit.
Nice.
And he did really well out of it. And he still
did. I'm absolutely gutted. Do you know what bet I nearly put on but didn't at the halftime of the Falcons
Cowboys Patriots to win. Game? I had a look as well.
No, you're thinking about the Cowboys.
The Falcons Patriots game.
Yeah.
I nearly put £50 at halftime on Tom Brady to win the MVP.
And I
didn't do it, and it's the biggest regret of my life.
Yeah.
it was like 1,000-1.
My buddy Dom, this week, I decided I was going to stay away from him. The first quarter, there was no way I was reaching out to talk to him about that. But then afterwards, I was like, we're not out of this. We're not properly out of it, but I'm not going to. And then at the very end, he did the same thing and shared his Skybet account, and he bet on the Cowboys to win.
Oh, shit. That must have paid amazing.
It didn't pay as much as the Super Bowl one, I'll be honest. Because halftime we were 29-10. That's not 28-3.
True.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I seem to recall that when the Falcons went in 28-3, they had the ball in the first half, in the second half.
Yeah.
Whereas on this one we were getting possession.
I heard that 29-10 is the new
28-3. Oh, mate. It's fucking the Falcons, mate. Yeah, I've got to feel sorry for the Falcons. Well, it is like their special ability.
You can't spell Falcons without taking an L.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, fucking knobholes. Right, sorry, Bill. Back to you.
All right. Our ninth drive. Now this, I've got quite a bit written down for this, but in massive letters and scribbled on and underscored and exclamation marks, huge Cooper catch.
Yeah. Oh, ridiculous.
Amari Cooper How about that for a one-handed grab? That's better than the OBJ one.
Oh, yeah, dude, that made Odell Beckham look like child's play.
Yeah, and it was in a game that the team who did it won.
Yes.
Very true.
So,
that looked like something out of Madden, that did. Didn't look real.
It didn't look real. And I thought, you could see it was overthrown slightly.
Yeah.
And he just kind of managed to, like, sort of coo it in with his fingers and just get to it. That's the stick.
Amari Cooper, I don't know if you know this, but he's a massive fan of cartoons, and he just shouted, "Go, go, gadget arms." And just nailed it.
Are you being serious, or is this true?
No, no. He did. I think the NFL would have had something to say if he had go-go gadget arms on the field.
Yeah, Cooper, if you've got gadget arms, send them my way, guys.
What would that be? There's performance-enhancing drugs and then go-go gadget arms.
That's the one, isn't it? That's the funny one.
So
I love that. But what do you mean I can't have... It says nothing about performance-enhancing arms. It says performance-enhancing drugs. These are not drugs. They're bolted on.
It's not fair to the game. What do you mean it's not fair to the game? Well, your hat came off, turned into a helicopter, and you...
And it's halfway through when the commentators are talking, and you just hear, "And Cooper has the next time gadget, next time."
Impressive impersonation skills there as well.
It's one of the few impressions I can do. Is old Ernst, what was he called? Dr. Claw, wasn't it?
Dr. Claw, yeah, the Claw.
That's right. Yeah. You're right.
One of the few impressions I can do. Anyway, back in the room.
So,
yes, Bill.
So after that huge Cooper catch, a few plays later, Dak got hit hard, went off. There was concussion protocol. They had to put him through the thing. And who came on but the old Red Rifle? Now, I want to say at this very moment that I still felt calm. I thought that Andy Dalton is an accomplished NFL quarterback, and I did not worry a thing about having Andy Dalton on the field. He actually walked on with a lot of confidence as well, and I was like, "Yeah, we got this. We got this." Yep. I didn't fear that there was going to be anything going on, you know, any issues. And he didn't. He did quite a good job of struggling to get a 1 yard touchdown when we're on the goal line. Threw it away.
He did.
Threw it away. And then Dak came back in and went, "Oh, you just do it like this." And just jumped over the top. But at that point, and it was just nearing the end of the third quarter, we then went, that was when we were 29-24, and it was a one-point game.
Mm.
And the Falcons got the game, got the ball, and... Gage got that touchdown as they went straight back up the field and moved it back to 36-24. And that's the end of the fourth quarter. So we went into the fourth quarter 36-24 down, which is still 2.2 possessions. It was iffy.
It was very iffy. It didn't look like it was going to work, did it?
No.
But...
And then what did we do?
We've forgotten that we're playing the blowout specialist, so we should have been just way confident.
But the thing is, and so we had this. We were close. And then we went and did the fake field goal, fake punt again. But this time, we had 5 yards to go, and we decided to do a dodgy run into the biggest defensive line that they actually put on the field at any one time. It was never going to happen. I thought that was a bad call. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. At this point, I was like, why are you doing this? I wasn't having it. I thought, well, would they come to lose on purpose now? Or are they trying to make it look like, oh, we tried, but it just didn't work? What were they going for?
Part of me was kind of, I was in my head thinking, well, let Chris Jones sort of do it again. Do the exact same thing again and then see if that one works. I wasn't expecting a bad running play. I was expecting something, and I think the Falcons were.
You want to see a bad running play? Look at Cam Newton's last play on his drive, the game-winning drive yesterday. That was a horrible run play.
Nah, I couldn't watch the Patriots. It's the rules. I can't. I don't care. Them's
the rules.
Them's the rules. So we gave
that's
them
a point, actually. We've not said fuck the Patriots in a while. Just
yeah,
in
yeah
case
we did.
You've
I think we did
to
at
the last
end,
couple
it?
Episodes, and you're wondering if we've changed our opinions on the Patriots. fuck the Patriots.
They seem to be less relevant, and I think that's the thing. There's still lots of people clinging on to the fact that they think they're gonna, you know, win the Super Bowl again. But you kind of have to think, well, you'll probably get the playoffs because the division you're in and the fact that there's extra people in the playoffs. But yeah, no, you're not relevant anymore. Go home. It's over.
Yeah, that's right, Patriots. You are basically Heelys. Off you fuck. Right.
So we did the bad fake punt. The Falcons get the ball. They score a field goal. We're now 36-24 down. It's a 3-possession game and there's 8 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
This is our lowest moment. And then 11th drive, big CD Lamb catch, big Schultz catch.
Beautiful CD Lamb catch.
Schultz scores the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
39-30. There is 4 minutes and 57 seconds left on that clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Falcons are de-stepped up. We actually got a sack.
Yep. We actually got the first sack of the game.
First sack of the game, Everson Griffin. We've only had 2 sacks. We've literally had two sacks and 1 interception in 2 games. That is abysmal.
I would just like to talk about Everson Griffin's celebration. I like what he's doing. He's clearly trying to be a Griffin, but I feel like he could make it a bit more obvious. Like, extend those arms a bit further, son. Like, you know, nut your head forward a bit more. But I like it. I like the fact that your surname's Griffin. You're going for the Griffin. As everybody knows, that's my main reason for liking Taco Charlton. So, every time he gets that, but like next time, like go all out, like have some wings pop out the back of your jersey. Do you know what I mean?
Go gadget wings.
Go gadget wings.
I wanted the helicopter, but I just couldn't afford it. I'm only on a 1-year contract, so I got these wings instead. I have to work to fly, but you know. my favorite.
That's why you didn't see him much in the first half, because he was just on the sidelines trying to glue him to his back.
My favorite sack celebration was, I can't remember who it was, but they were on the Broncos team, and the Broncos were losing by about 20. And they managed to sack him, and then they did this big celebration, and they were all happy and giddy. And they looked at Von Miller, and like, how come you're not celebrating with me? And Von Miller just pointed at the scoreboard. He was like, dude, we're 20 down. You don't celebrate when you're 20 down.
Yeah. That was last season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Who was the... Yeah, they lost the game as well, didn't they?
Yeah,
because there was a... Yeah. That's Miller, though. He's class as balls, isn't he?
He is class as balls. And he single-handedly scared Cam Newton out of a Super Bowl win.
He single-handedly lost most NFL fans a lot of money. That's what he fucking did. The way Cam Newton was playing that season, everybody who was anybody had about 500 quid on the Panthers to win and Cam Newton to score like 5+ touchdowns. And whoever decided to go for Von Miller for MVP, that man was the betting legend. But anyway, we've already talked quite a lot now about betting on the Super Bowl. Back to the Cowboys fourth quarter.
So, 12th drive. We get a really big play by Noah Brown that was cancelled out because of a CD Lamb block in the backfield, which I didn't like it myself. But then Gallup's bum cheeks. That's literally what I've written down here. Gallup's bum cheeks. Huge throw down the sideline. And literally, Gallup's bum cheeks. We got to see them ripple to work out as to whether they went down first or his elbow did. Let's put it this way. If we didn't have that, did you see this, Ben?
Yes, I did, and I'm just enjoying how much you clearly enjoyed it.
It was one of them where they challenged the play. They had to work it out, and they just kept, you know, like they find a spot where they just keep moving it. And it's like just going back and forth on a brief second still. And all you could see was Gallup's bum cheeks just spread out a little bit as they hit the ground first. It was just weird. Anyway.
It felt like as they were doing it, they should have just started playing the opening theme to Baywatch. That like...
So Gallup's bum cheeks got us there. Dak scores the TD. He's third of the night. We're now at 39-37.
Now the venereal disease gave a bit of shit to last season. Sorry, last podcast comes into his own.
The onside kick. What do we think?
I was like, well, that was a do or die. I mean, there's no other option. There was that, and the fact that it worked, holy shit. I haven't seen that many people go crazy at one point in any bar in my entire life. And take note that this is a bar that had like every other football game on, and this was on every other screen since it was like bonus footage. Everybody was like, oh my gosh. I think the chances of a kick like that happening and receiving it is under 12 or 13%. And the fact that the Cowboys end up, you know, winning this amazing game is 2% or less. And it was crazy. It was almost like the Falcons players didn't know what to do.
They just
like stared at the ball like, wow.
It was wow. In my head, I was thinking either A, they thought they had to wait for 10 yards as well.
Yeah.
Or B, what I think is probably more so the case, they weren't exactly sure if they had to wait for 10 yards, so they were all waiting for someone else to do it.
Yeah.
And looking at it over and over again, it reminds me of, you probably don't. Have you ever have a couple of dogs together? And they ever encounter something weird, like a frog that just slightly moves. Yeah. They want to get it, but none of them want to get it.
Yes.
So, I was thinking it looked like, you know, when you used to play playground games and you were waiting for that first kid to leave the line in Bulldog. That's what I thought it looked like.
It was terrible. The fair play to Greg Zuerlein for putting that much spin on a ball.
Mate, fair play. He fucking pulled it off. That was, again, this was the couple good things from comparative. If you listen to our podcast from last season, the things we needed was kickers that can make a difference. The things we wanted were people, were the coach to make ballsy plays. The thing we wanted were the special teams to make ballsy plays. The thing we wanted was our defence to start turning up towards the end of the game. So as much as it's all been a bit crazy and a bit heart in the mouth, most of the things... We haven't had the best two opening games, agreed. But nearly everything we complained about for all of last year's podcast... have been changed with Mike McCarthy. And that's where we fucking are.
Yeah, and this entire comeback, all right, there was a lot of, you know, there's a lot of luck involved. A shit ton of luck was involved. But it was all down to, I'm giving, this is Dak's greatest game.
Absolutely. Absolutely it was.
Oh, I don't know if I agree with that, but
this was his great team leadership wise and everything on the field. Don't forget, like I said at the very start, he had two of his original offensive linemen out there.
Yeah, true.
And he was under so much pressure, and yet he had to sort of pull something out of his arse.
Yeah, and he did.
And keep everyone together so that they're doing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I genuinely couldn't believe what had happened. I didn't think there was any chance in hell that we were going to do it, but...
But we did.
And it's...
And I was called by my friends in various chats a jammy cunt three times.
And let me break one more fact out. Quarterback Dak Prescott became the first quarterback in NFL history this past Sunday to have 400-plus passing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns in a single game.
Yep.
Really? Oh, I missed that stat.
Yeah.
Nice.
Is he better than Carson Wentz then, or what? Is that now fully decided?
Well, I mean, I do like the fact that Carson Wentz plays from a wheelchair. That's quite... it's quite... Do you know what I mean? Fucking Carson Wentz fans, mate. Fuck off.
I tell you what, it's extremely... Moving on from the Cowboys game now, it's extremely ironic that Carson Wentz is still fit for the next game when so many people got injured yesterday.
Yeah. That's true.
I've just
seen a Bleacher Report that Nick Bosa has got a torn ACL, so that's his season over as well.
Oh, yeah, Nick Bosa is out. Also, Saquon Barkley is out with the ACL injury, and Christian McCaffrey is out for a month with a high ankle sprain.
I know it's longer than that, isn't it?
Also, Bill, off that Eagles ironic, I just need to say this. It's like wins on a broken team. Carry on. Sorry. Thank you.
Your Alanis Morissette impression is nowhere near as good as your Claw impression. I'd start with the...
Yeah, agreed.
Start with the Claw, then... Get the audience ready for Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, sorry, no, I've got a little like bikini thing I wear. Pull it off, man. It works.
Don't pull it off.
The next thing that happened is, well, everybody else knows it, but I want to go ahead and share it. Adam Vinatieri, after a CD Lamb, nice catch, nice pass by Dak, put us in field goal range. 46 or 47 yards. What?
You said Adam Vinatieri.
Oh.
He's in a similar league. Adam Vinatieri is a legend.
Yes, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, we know the
venereal disease.
Exactly. And he must have got the cure before that kick because he put that thing through center uprights, no problem, 47 yards. Game over. And guess what else? T.O. was there and he had his fucking popcorn ready.
Hey! With some Bitcoin. Like he bought it with Bitcoin.
Like he bought with Bitcoin. I've got to say, though, right? Obviously, this is a different season with the whole no preseason, COVID, not too many fans. We've got a new manager. We've not really had much time to practice with him. You know, we're doing all right considering, you know. But the one thing we really need to see going forward, and it's the one thing we talked about last season that hasn't changed yet, but I do think is going to change. I say truly think, but I do think it's going to change, is that we're still either just losing games or just winning games. I want to get to that point where we have, you know, more than one game in a row without nearly shitting myself.
I know, but I don't think this game counts. Because if you took away the first quarter, and the first quarter was just an anomaly...
Yeah.
If you take away that first quarter, we would have pounded the Falcons.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
If you just count the last three quarters, just look how much we outscored them.
Yeah, well, it'd be about
and like I said, the first one wasn't the Falcons being good. It was it wasn't us being bad. It was ball control. Which is something you'll need to realize when you're doing the bikini as Alanis Morissette as well.
Yeah. Well, I genuinely once did a drag thing in school in a dress, and my testicles fell out. like that scene in The Inbetweeners that nobody think is real, that genuinely happened to me in year 11. And it is, yeah, good work, Galatia, good work.
It kind of doesn't surprise me at all. For anyone that's listening to this, and sorry, Ben, I'm going to have to mention it. Ben's in a band. Ben's a drummer in a band. And
I am, yes.
His band is, what genre is your band?
Pirate folk. We dress up as pirates and we sing like folk songs with a bit of like a punky rocky edge.
Yeah. I've seen the photos.
Yeah. Basically, when I drum, I get really hot. So the easiest way to do this is to wear as little clothing as possible. So I'm basically just wearing trousers
and a pirate
and like
hat.
A rag on my head. And when I'm sat behind the drum kit, because I wear shorts as well, from the right angle, it does just look like I'm stark bollock naked playing drums.
Let's move on to the Seahawks game next week.
Seahawks, yes, go.
So we have the Seahawks next week. The Seahawks looked incredible against the Patriots. I think we're going to get embarrassed.
Yeah. I think anybody who genuinely thinks we're going to win this is just being a stupid classic Cowboys fan. If we win it, fantastic. Can we win it? Maybe. Are we going to win it? Nah.
I think there has to be some big changes before we could win this one.
Yeah, we need a lot of skillful changes and we need a little bit of luck with the Seahawks fucking up. I predict the Seahawks will win by about 21 points.
Our secondary needs to be so much better. We can't allow that much space like the Falcons had. No. They'll just pick us apart.
Yeah, they'll absolutely destroy us. And the thing Dak is slowly but surely becoming like, you know, a version of Russell Wilson. And Russell, there is only one Russell Wilson, and he would love to prove it. So he will come out and he will fucking do that.
Yeah. Sorry, Rob.
Well, I think, you know, I'm with you on you guys. I think we take an L here. But maybe it's like when we beat the Saints. Everybody's expecting us to lose. And Mike McCarthy comes out and who knows.
True.
And let me just point it out. We can't start the game out like we did against the Falcons and win. The Falcons are shit compared to the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we start out like that, we might as well just turn the TV off because it's going to be 60-7 by the end of the game.
Yeah.
And
we can stay in it if we keep our offense on the field, and because our offense is it's one of the top offenses in the NFL, and if we can keep that on the field, then we can move the ball as long as we don't drop the fucking thing. But if it's our defense that's going to stop us, and the problem is our offense. If we have it on the field, they've got Bobby Wagner, they've got Jamal Adams. We're gonna struggle to keep that, but our offense could possibly overcome that defense. There's no way in hell our defense can overcome the Seahawks offense.
No, I think you're right.
They need to ball it.
We have to get.
Yeah.
We have to get at least. We have to play air-free football on offense and defense. But I think in order for us to win, we have to have at least one, if not two, takeaways. Because if we're still down Tyron Smith, fuck. I don't know if that's – we need Tyron Smith at this point.
I don't know if he's back. It was a neck injury, so I don't know how long he's going to be.
That's the thing. That's what I think. The whole world's expecting us to lose this. Like, the whole world expected us to lose against the Falcons at the end of the first quarter, except you, Bill. And, I think it's you know, if we play like we played third and fourth quarter the whole game when we played the Falcons, if we played third and fourth quarter like we did that and everything is on point, Dak's the leader.
It's like I just said, Rob. I'm not saying we can't do it. Like it's doable, but it's like, you know, 3% doable. I can't see it happening. I love the optimism, but at the same time, as we all said, like, it will be an hour. And I think, yeah, I've just got to accept that it's going to be an hour. And if it's anything, even if it's a tight game and it's an hour, if we only lose by 3 points, I'll be a happy man.
Yeah, yeah. If we put in a good show, I don't mind losing sometimes when we actually play well. It's when you play badly. Mm. You just thought, well, we could have had a chance there and you fucked it all up.
Yeah.
But I'm just
I hope we're wrong, and I hope we absolutely smash them.
I'm just looking at the schedule now, and the Giants of the 49ers. So I could, without a Saquon Barkley, I would happily put, well, mind you, the 49ers lost Nick Bosa, and Garoppolo was out injured as well, wasn't he? And Mostert. There's a few injuries in the 49ers.
I'm still picking 49ers.
Yeah. So the Browns are against Washington, but I don't think the Washington are relevant enough to worry about too much. And then the Eagles have the Bengals. So,
you know what? You know what? I think that'll be a good game to watch.
I think it'll be a very good game to watch. I like Joe Burrow. I think if he had decent defensive line, offensive line, he would be very good.
I like Joe Burrow, and I like the Bengals for two reasons. One, they've basically become the Browns. They're one of the shittest teams in the league, and you don't hate them. Two, they have and always will have the best lids in the league. Fight me.
No, Jaguars have the best lids in the league.
No, Jaguars had the best lids, or joint best lids, that one season when they had that really dark black lid.
Yes, yeah. They
got rid of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that like matte with black
a,
lid.
With a bit of gold in it, yeah.
Dope. But they had it for one season and got rid of it.
Yeah. So, the problem is I don't want the Eagles to win that game, because then we're going to lose the Seahawks, and everyone's like 1-2. And the Eagles, it's like, oh. But I'm going to credit who gave the joke. A guy I'm on Facebook with, Alexander McGlover, he genuinely made me laugh today with, the Eagles are that bad you can even hear the fake crowd shouting for Jalen Hurts. I was like, yeah, I like that.
That's something we've not actually mentioned this game, the fact that Cowboys had a bit of a crowd.
They did.
Yeah. And it was good. And it was great to hear.
I believe there were some hard hitters there as well. I'm not so sure who was there, but some of the hard hitters, and shout out to them all.
Shout out to them all.
I believe some of them were there, so you could probably hear them.
That's probably who the noise was coming from. It was all the hard hitters just losing their shit. Oh, ain't that the truth?
What a game to be there.
Sign off now.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
We've been going for a little while.
It was an emotional roller coaster, and we're all tired.
Yeah, I'm absolutely knackered. And it's been mental. But make sure you are there with us for the next week, when we will talk about the Seahawks game. Yes, hopefully it's good. We'll also get on some news. There's a bit of news we missed today, but the podcast has gone on for about an hour so far, so we're going to try and wrap things up a bit. So we're trying to keep the podcast a little bit shorter, as we know you all have things to do. So we'll probably talk a little bit more about the fact that we no longer have Saquon Barkley in the league. Off you fuck. Thank you very much. And also McCaffrey's out for a month, but that's all stuff that we can discuss next week. Thanks for listening, as always, to the First and 10 podcast for the UK Dallas Cowboys, brought to you by Robert Gervin and me and Bill. Absolute pleasure. Speak to you soon.
Bye-bye, folks.